I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Yes, I can't sit with my wife. She's taking the place of Jesse today. We just had a four-day retreat where we had to be quiet, and I'm fired up now, man. I got a lot of things to say now. I want to thank you for joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show. I always love to say that we're too inspired to be tired. We're too protected to be dejected, and too renewed to be subdued. We're not subdued. Why? Because we have the truth of Jesus Christ. And every day here at the Terry and Jesse Show, we open up our Bibles, and because Mary has a Bible study on Tuesdays called The Bible with the Barbers, I asked her to come in and join me for today, especially on the scriptures, and give us her commentary. So we call it soul food. What do we mean by that? The Bible, you know, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Correct. So what we want to do is give you Jesus Christ every day here at Virgin Most Powerful. And I want to read from today's Mass, which is a powerful reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16 to 22. I'm going to read the Gospel, proclaim it, and then I'm going to have my faithful bride give some commentary on this scripture. And I think you're going to find that it's very efficacious for you in your own life. So a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." What a great summary. The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The Gospel of the Word.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mary, give us your thoughts on this.
Well, it's interesting. Number one, mm-hmm. the young man asked him about what is good.
Mm-hmm.
"Well, why are you asking me about what is good?" And then Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And the young man says, "Well, which ones?" Well, if you read the Ten Commandments,
yes.
which ones didn't Jesus mention there? He doesn't mention the first three.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned...
They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is... Mary, that was
okay.
one of those little guys running in.
Oops,
interference.
A commercial in there. We've got to remember the women's conference.
Okay.
So we'll have to mention that later.
Yeah.
But the deal is,
yeah.
Jesus says that the commandments that are love your neighbor as yourself. He
yeah.
starts with the fourth commandment and goes through 10, four through 10. But he didn't say the first three. Now, what's interesting is to the crowd, they're like, "Okay, fine." Now, the young man said, "Well, I've kept all these. What do I need to do to be perfect?" "Well, you need to keep the first three commandments. You know, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Keep holy the Sabbath." But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, "Go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." There wasn't a Jewish person in that audience above the age of 12
mm-hmm.
who didn't catch it. He just claimed that following him fulfills the first three commandments.
Awesome. Well, that's insightful.
He just claimed divinity.
Yes.
When I was in college, I had a good Jesuit priest point that out to
us. That's fantastic.
And it is fantastic. But what is goodness? What is goodness? Well, the young man was good already. He was already keeping the commandments. He was already loving his neighbor as himself. But what about the love of God? What is first in his life? And that's what the Lord is challenging him on. The young man says, what do I need to be perfect? Well, to be perfect, you have to put the Lord absolutely first in your life.
That's right.
You have to renounce all of your material things and put God first and not allow anything of this world to hold you back from following the Lord God with your whole heart, mind, soul, with all your strength and will.
You know, Mary, I'm reading the commentary from the Navarre Bible, and it said exactly that. It says, by drawing the comparison, Jesus shows that it's simply not possible for people who put their hearts on worldly things to obtain a share in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And this gospel is going to be pertaining to the topic when we come back from our break from Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and he talks about a warning of a crisis in Christendom, and it ties into worldliness.
Yes.
That we've become too much in with the world and not anything with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow. I want to give some good news before we move on. I have my unplanned video that came out, the DVD. Last Friday, Thursday, I mentioned that Amazon, their number one DVD sales was from Unplanned. I want to encourage you. It's done so much good work in the pro-life movement.
Absolutely.
Touching so many souls who were for abortion, and now they changed their whole view.
Right.
I want to encourage you to get your copies and show them especially, you know who I'd like you to show them to? Your youth group.
Absolutely, at the parishes. Get in there and show them to the youth group, show them to the young adults, you know, show them to the old people, show them to everybody, but especially go to the youth, because we've been sold a bill of goods that says, you know, we got problems in this world, and those problems come from too many children, and we have to kill the children to have peace in the world. Well, you know what? This has been going on for 40 years. And people talk about, you know, all the people the communists killed in the 20th century, all the people. If you take all the people the communists killed in the 20th century and all the people that died in the wars of the 20th century, it does not add up to the number of unborn children who have been killed through induced abortion, either chemical or surgically induced abortion in the last 40 years, because 1 billion children worldwide have been killed. Where are the people crying out, we need to stop killing our children? This isn't going to bring us peace. It won't bring us happiness.
Well said, Mary. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about Archbishop Sheen's warning of a crisis in Christendom. So I won't use the time for Fulton Sheen's quote, because the most of our show is going to be on Bishop Sheen. But I do want to give you something that the little flower said that I thought was so beautiful. She said, the value of life does not depend upon the place we occupy. It depends on how we occupy that place.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So it doesn't matter if you're, you know, the president of the United States or the janitor cleaning the bathroom. How are you doing this? Are you doing this in union with God? Are you doing this for love of God?
Amen.
Joseph Lézu once said, you know, if you pick up a pin off the floor and you do it for love and in union with Jesus, it will save a soul. Why? Because when you do it for love in union with Jesus, then Jesus' merits are attached to it.
Absolutely. I want to profile 2 bishops in our church who are what I call heroes in our church. Because, you know, many times we hear about archbishops and cardinals doing, you know, just weird things. Not keeping the faith. Let's call it for what it is. So I want to profile two men. The Archbishop of Krakow. Now, that's the seed that St. John Paul II was there in the 1960s.
He was the Archbishop of Krakow before he became the Pope.
So I won't even try to pronounce the Polish archbishop, but I will try it. Jedrzejczyk. And he is the archbishop there. And he's under fire.
Yes.
You remember last week when I showed you that 15-year-old kid with his crucifix and rosary in front of the homosexual march that they're trying to get a compromise in Poland, and Poland's fighting back and saying, no, it's Jesus Christ is the meaning and purpose of life.
Amen.
And what you're doing out of charity is sinful, and we're not going to accept that kind of lifestyle as part of what Poland's all about. So this is so interesting because he's taken heat. Many of the bishops tell me, personally, hey, man, if we say that, man, they're going to be on our doorstep. We've got to kind of lighten up here.
We might get persecuted.
Well, he's persecuted because on August 7th, last week, many lay people were demanding his resignation because he's not being politically correct. Thank you, Archbishop, for not being politically correct. Amen. And for giving them what Jesus Christ teaches.
The truth, the love truth. Of God.
That's what sets him free.
Sin degrades us as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Any sin degrades us. Even if we don't know it's a sin, you know, it still degrades us.
That's right. And the last bishop that I want to profile is the Archbishop Terence Prendergast. He is the Archbishop of Ottawa. That's up in Canada.
Yes.
Now, he condemns a satanic black mass is vile and hateful. Now, some of people say, don't say anything about it.
Right.
Be quiet. Let them do what they have a right to do their own thing. What does the archbishop say? No, I have a moral responsibility to tell my flock
to
pray and make reparation.
Pray and
he
make
says,
reparation?
He said, pray and make reparation. What a great thing. And he says,
is this microphone on?
Yep. He said, my concern is for the faith of our people and the offense that this brings to their love and reverence for the Eucharist.
Amen.
What a hero in my books.
Yeah, pray and make reparation.
Yep.
Amen. Wow, thank you, Archbishop. Thank you.
And I would encourage you to go to LifeSite News to sign the petition.
Yeah.
It gives a petition and pray, action and prayer.
Absolutely.
You know, we can do the both. And so I wanted to profile those two archbishops because when we come back, I'm going to profile my favorite archbishop, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Soon to be
beatified. Yeah, blessed.
Praise God.
And that's what we're hoping for. Yeah. And then I've got so much more stuff that's good news of how Catholic lay people are stepping up to the plate with their holiness of life and doing what Bishop Sheen said, the laity, save the church.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how every 500 years the church goes through a dime. What? And we're doing it right now. And you're part of it.
You're part of
the resurrection of the church. Here at Virgin Most Powerful, that's what we plan to do, is support Holy Mother the Church by holiness of life. We'll be back with Bishop Sheen's writings after this. Quick break.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity, Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7th, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. You can see this isn't Jesse.
Jesse Shea.
You know what Jesse's doing right now? He's at EWTN doing an interview for his new book. So he's going to be a really busy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll be out a few days, but his health is good.
Good.
So
that's
good news. Yeah. You know, before we go into Bishop Sheen with our whistle, I just want to mention something. We're talking about the church, and we're going through a purification right now.
Right.
But I just want to read something from Pope Pius V that was printed in August 30th. Are you ready? 1568.
Yeah.
You know, nothing new under the sun. We had a similar problem 500 years ago.
Right.
We had homosexuals in the priesthood.
Exactly.
And here's what the Holy Father did. He put out a decree. And the decree, are you ready for the name of the decree? I thought, what a straightforward guy. That horrible crime?
Yes.
Yeah. You remember, we love the sinner, but hate the sin.
That's right. That's right.
Let's make sure.
We hate the sin.
So here's what the Holy Father cites. He says, knowing that the sin of Sodom would only spread if stronger measures were not taken, Pope Pius V decreed that any priest or member of the clergy who commits such a crime by force of the present law, be deprived of every clerical privilege, of every post, dignity, and ecclesiastical benefit, and after having been degraded by an ecclesiastical judge, that's the church, let him go immediately to be delivered to the secular authorities.
Right.
Now, it's hard to imagine such strong medicine for grave moral ills being prescribed today.
Right.
But, you know, Mary, I really believe that you need strong measures when we have evil going on in the world.
Right. And if you don't correct evil, then people don't change their lives.
Right.
The purpose of this is to get the man to correct his behavior.
Right.
To turn to the Lord and admit his need for the Lord's help and give up his sin.
If someone wants a copy of that, because many people I've read that to, they go, what?
Yeah.
Where did you get that? Well, just email us at the, and my wife answers lots of the questions on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio website, and we'll get you a copy of that. We'll scan it. Hey, let's bring Fulton Sheen into the room.
Woo!
Fulton Sheen ahead. And Bishop Sheen's going to stay with us for quite some time now. He's not just going to give us his quote and the train moves on.
Nope.
Here's an article, says Archbishop Sheen's warning of a crisis in Christendom. Now, this saintly bishop had a long-range spiritual vision. Bishop Sheen saw the roots of today's crisis.
Yes, he did.
I listened to him on cassette, and he talked about it.
Yeah.
This article, they're quoting him, he firmly planted and was growing. He gave an antidote to the crisis in the church. First of all, he says this, and this is 1974. Honey, we were in high school.
Yes, yes.
But remember what was going on. We just passed abortion laws,
right.
Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, exactly.
We saw what was going on the television. There was all kinds of crummy stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Bishop Sheen says, first, we are at the end of Christendom. Now, Bishop Sheen solemnly said this on television, 1974. He said, now, not Christianity, not the church. Remember, he says, what I'm saying. Then he defined what he meant.
Right.
Christendom is an economic, a political, social life as inspired by Christian principles. That is ending. We've seen it die. Look at the symptoms, the breakup of the family, divorce, abortion, immorality. And basically, he says general dishonesty. Now, Mary, what they didn't say in this article, he gives an example, because I memorized it.
Yeah.
He gave an example of a young woman working at a hotel.
Yeah.
And you remember, she stole money from
the
till.
That's right.
And when she went to court, you know, because she said, oh, no, I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
What do you mean? So when her position from her attorney and her was, no one ever told me
it was wrong to
that
steal.
It was wrong to steal.
Are you serious?
So when you gave me this job, you didn't tell me I wasn't supposed to do this.
Whoa.
You see, that's what Bishop Sheen's talking about, Christendom. Most people would know that that is a wrong thing
right.
to do.
Right, we don't steal. You don't right. take what belongs to someone else. That's wrong.
Now, Mary, I want to mention this, that this was 1974.
Right.
Today, would you agree that it's even worse?
Oh, yes. The world has gone further away from God, unfortunately.
A family, a definition of family. Now we have homosexual marriage, so-called.
Exactly, trying to redefine the family, trying to, you know, convince people it's okay to kill their children.
Here's what Bishop Sheen said that's interesting, as you know. He reminded that of the 22 civilizations that have decayed since the beginning of the world, 19 rotted and perished from within.
Exactly.
Now, Abraham Lincoln said, America will never fall from outside.
Right.
If it falls, it will fall from within. Now, Mary, we know the example of a frog, boiling the frog.
Right.
1 degree at a time.
Yeah, you put a frog in a pot of cold water and then you start a fire underneath of it. 1 degree at a time, you raise the temperature, and eventually you can boil that frog to death, and that frog will not jump out of the water.
Now, in this article, Mary, they mentioned that this decline has really picked up its steam.
Yes,
recently.
It has. Yeah.
But he said that he thought about it in 1968 when Pope Paul VI, who's now St. Paul VI,
right.
came out with Humanae Vitae, the teaching on the transmission of life. Right. We were kids. We were 12 years old.
Right, right.
And I want you to just share a story with your mama when that came out, and people, they were dissenting. They were saying, yeah, we can now have birth control.
Right.
We don't have to listen to the Pope, but tell us what happened in your life.
Well, before the document actually came out, my mother was having a discussion with another woman. My mother had 10 children at home. This other woman had 11 children at home.
Oh my gosh.
And the other lady said to my mom, but what if he changes the teaching? And my mother looked at her and she said, he can't change the teaching.
Yep.
You know, this is the church teaching.
It's perennial teaching.
The Pope can't change what the church has always taught.
Right.
And she said, what if he does? And she said, he can't. And the woman persisted, what if he does? And my mother looked at her and said, if he does, I'll buy you a hamburger. And I thought, wait a minute. Whoa, we never go out to eat. We don't buy anything for anybody. My dad was a teacher. And we had moved out to California from Minnesota. We were struggling financially to make the transition.
With that many kids. Yeah.
And we didn't have any extra money. And
no.
I thought, this is really important. What's going on? This is, wow.
That's a good story. Now, in this article, Bishop Sheen pointed out that the press that we read, the television that we see, is in no instance inspired by Christian principles. Now, that was 74. It's even worse now. As a matter of fact, he said, there is on the part of many and of us a tendency to go down to meet the world and not to lift the world up.
Yeah.
I love this statement. We are afraid of being unpopular, so we go with the mob.
Who are we trying to please?
Boy.
It's interesting. It goes back to the gospel, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Who's first in our life? Are we more worried about what men think of us or what God thinks? And it's, you know, Bishop Sheen, there was a time when we had a League of Decency that was trying to fight for goodness in media and television. And little by little in our country, that League of Decency was silenced.
Yep.
So that we have to the point now that what you watch on TV, you know, ideas have consequences. And if you're being entertained by people who are militant atheists and trying to destroy your faith in God, 90% of the media is in the control of militant atheists.
That's right.
They want to convince you that you don't need God. Think about what you're being entertained by.
Well said. Before we go into what Bishop Sheen notes, the fourth 500 period of the church of history, he explains that the church is not a continuing thing. What? It dies and rises again.
Right.
It proceeds on the principle of Christ himself as priest and victim. That's a mouthful. But before I do that, I want to mention to our listeners, we were on retreat but Sunday afternoon. People who call us at Virgin Most Powerful, you know, I give my cell number out, 661-972-7872 on the radio. So I get lots of calls.
Right.
But I want to thank our listeners because our listeners called, number one, marriage issue, try to help them out. You get questions on that all the time.
Right.
They're coming to us for advice. Why? And because they need help. They're not getting it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Number two, one of our listeners, my cousin's got issues with spiritual warfare. He's, you know, doing all kinds of weird things, and we're not sure if it's mental problems or spiritual. Who do we go to? So we directed them. Number three, just with the gospel today, a young man calls me and says, hey, I've had a metanoia. I've had a conversion. What do you mean? Well, I was living with my girlfriend, and now I broke from her. I think God's calling me to become a priest. Sharp wow. young man wow. I met this, you know, yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
So Praise what did God. We do? We put him up here at the Sacred Heart Chapel to say, hey, look, start working with the Carmelite priest. He's working with them for vocation. And because of our support here from you, our listener, you're part of this. I'm just one link in the chain.
Right, right.
And I think there was another one that came down the pike today. I got four or five people
wow.
That yeah. because Virgin Most Powerful Radio is so powerful,
yeah.
people are coming to us. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, Mary. I think they're getting answers from us. Many times they call their parishes. Unfortunately, they're not getting answers.
Right.
We're not getting the right answers.
And we need to pray. It's like what the Archbishop said in Ottawa. We need to pray and do penance and make sacrifice and make reparation.
Right.
We need to turn to the Lord. You know, a holy people, a holy priest.
That's it.
When the people are holy and they pray for their priests, our priests are under constant attack.
Yep.
Remember, as the priests and the bishop has the fullness of the priesthood. And the devil is going to go after him, because if he can take down a bishop, he can take down the faith of many people in that diocese.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Bishop Sheen. But I want, Mary, if you got a minute, tell them about how you've adopted a priest through the Opus Angelorum. Give them a little, and give them how they can do that. Because we need to adopt our priests.
We every year, there's a crusade for priests from the Opus Angelorum. If you go to opusangelorum.org, and you can adopt a priest, and you pray for that priest every day. So you're spiritually adopting. You may not even know him.
Nope.
You can either choose a priest and tell them, I want to adopt this priest, and they'll send you a prayer to pray for that priest every day. Or you can say, any priest that needs prayers, you send me a name and I'll pray for that priest. So I've been doing this now for 4 years, I think. And every year I get a different priest and I pray for him. And I remember one of the ladies who mm-hmm. does this said, well, you know, I can still pray for the one I was praying for last year. So I still lift up the prayers, the priest that I originally prayed for. But this year I have a new adoptee and I pray for Father every day. And I also try and remember not only the prayer they prayed, but when I go to Mass, I try and lift him up in that Mass.
There you go.
That every time I go to Mass, I'm lifting up my spiritual adoptee. We need to support our priests with prayer and sacrifice.
That's it.
And we need to, you know, don't give your priests money to go out to the movies or fine dinners or have Masses offered for them.
Exactly.
Make sacrifices for them. Pray rosaries.
Yep.
Do penance for your priests.
And I know some parishes, once a week, like you, on a Thursday evening, you have a Thursday afternoon.
Thursday morning, actually,
morning.
After Mass. We meet together and we pray the rosary for priests. There's a group in I didn't start it, but somebody in the parish started it, one of the older women who realized, we need to pray for our priests.
That's awesome.
And it's beautiful.
There's your solution. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Bishop Sheen's interesting topic of every 500 years, the church goes through a purification. And we're going to show you, and we come back, the brilliant information showing how this took place and how you can be part of the resurrection of the church.
Amen.
By living
Amen.
Holy lives.
Amen.
And praying for our clergy.
Amen.
Thursday nights, we pray every Thursday from 7 to 9 here at the Sacred Heart Chapel.
That's right.
When we come back, we'll have much, much more about what Bishop Sheen has to say as the remedy to our problems in our church today. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's an on-fire Catholic and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. And they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse's on taking a day off to do an interview on EWTN about his new book. My wife, Mary Danielle, is here, who does the Bible with the Barbers tomorrow after our show. Right. You're welcome to do that with us. And also, she'll be starting up Bible studies in September at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Not talking about the Sacred Heart Chapel, tonight at 7 p.m., the Opus Angelorum that you talked about adopting priests,
right.
They are going to have a three-day mission.
That's right.
From 7 to 9, we have Mass, Adoration, Confession.
A conference.
Oh, my gosh, it's fantastic.
Beautiful.
Preparing people to have a better relationship with their guardian angel.
Amen.
And then on Thursday, St. Charbel's Mass.
That's right, this week. Because it's on the 22nd of every month, and so it's Thursday this week. The Melkite priest will be offering a Mass at 7:30 p.m. Everyone's welcome. And we usually do the Passio, we pray for priests, remembering Christ and his passion on Thursday evenings from 7 to 9. But because Father's offering a Mass, which is the representation in an unbloody manner of Christ's passion, his whole Paschal mystery, then that will be the Passio. So everybody's welcome to join us Thursday, 7:30 for the Mass.
Yep.
And the blessing of St. Charbel.
Now, put your seatbelts on, your spiritual seatbelts. Bishop Sheen says that we're living in the fourth 500-year period of the church, explaining that the church is not a continuing thing. It dies and rises again. It proceeds on the principle of Christ himself as priest and victim. Boy, that's insightful.
Priest and victim.
And there comes the defeat, the seeming decay we are in. We are put in the grave, and then we arise again. We've had these four deaths in the Christian history. Now, this is going to be a short history class.
Right.
Dr. Mazza would love this.
Yes, he would.
The three falls and the rises. The first time the church was in dire straits was in the fall of Rome, first 500-year period. It had a rebirth with great saint missionaries like St. Augustine.
Of England.
Of England. And Patrick in Ireland to spread the faith.
Yes.
Wow. And I believe there's great saints that are being raised up right now in our own time.
Yeah.
Mary, go ahead and continue on this. Then came the second.
The second decay around the year 1000, you had the Muslim invasion and the split of the church with the schism in Constantinople.
1054. Yep.
It seemed like everything came to an end. I mean, it's just, there was so much confusion.
And you know, Mary, one of the things that happened at that time, Islam in the 800s came about because of poor catechesis and the teachings on who Christ was. There was a lot of false teachings.
Right.
Because Islam took Christianity, Judaism, and started
their own. And Christian heresies.
Yes, and Christian heresies.
Not true Christianity. It took Christian heresies and Judaism, and it mixed it all up together, and you got confusion.
Well, now, in the third 500-year period, he said the church became rotten. Kind of like right now.
Rotten from within.
Yep. As nuns and priests were defecting, then came the reformers who almost always reformed the wrong things.
Yeah.
And they began to reform the faith. And there was nothing wrong with what the church teaches on the faith. It was the morals that needed to be reformed. Something similar to us now.
Exactly. The morals of the individual people, not the moral teaching of the church. the morals of the individual people. It was the individuals. And this is why the dying and rising takes place, because it's, yes, Christ preached the gospel, and then we start living the gospel, and then it's like, you know, Lord, this is just too hard. You understand that I'm weak, and you don't mind if I sin here a little bit and sin there a little bit. And we start compromising with sin, and we begin to rot from within and degrade ourselves. And then we get to the point where we don't like goodness anymore. We like rottenness.
He says it's not a renewal. It's really a moral reformation that is needed today. Yeah. Remember, he said this 44 years ago, Mary Danielle. Now, all the more for us today, just think about Humanae Vitae. You know, many theologians, I tell the story of William May. He would tell it publicly. I recorded his talk at the Fellowship of Catholic Scholars, 1989. It was right before we got married in the early time. And he came out and said, look, gentlemen, when 1968 took place, I was a young theologian. And I put my finger up and said, how is this going to help my future career
Which
as
way
a
is
job?
The wind blowing?
Exactly. And I realized that Charlie Kern was a priest. He was leading a charge for being a dissenter. And he decided to say, hey, wait a minute. Nobody's supporting this. I'm going to jump the bandwagon to Charlie Kern and say, I'm a dissenter, because they're going to give me a job. And I got a job. And then in 1989, he came out of the closet, so to speak. You get it? He came out and said, I was wrong. I did it for for my own benefit, of trying to enhance my career. And I realized that Pope Paul VI got it right. And now I'm back. Why do I say that? Because he said, after the period the church came to life again, when right teachings come along. And now he says we're in that fourth period, and we're rotting, just like we had the time 500 years ago. You heard what I read in 1567 from the Pope Paul the Fifth. He says we're spoiled. There's no great zeal, no great learning, no great fire. I mean, Bishop Sheen says our fires have gone out. Yet Bishop Sheen says there's hope, because anyone who knows history is not particularly disturbed.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday's gospel, Jesus said what? I have come to light a fire on the earth. Do we beg him to light the fire within us? The fire of his love to burn out all the dross and all our attachment to our sinful ways. You know, it's interesting. After the council, my father, who knew church history very well, he had been a Christian brother for
many years. Was,
for 16 years, and he was dispensed from his vows. He thought God was calling him something else. And also in his heart of hearts, he believed that if he stayed with the Christian Brothers back in the 1930s, that he would lose his faith by, you know, later on. Well, it's funny, because when I was in college, I read a book by a classmate of his, and I didn't know the man was a classmate of his, but I knew he was a Christian brother. So I brought it home and gave it to Dad. And after Dad read it, the man had lost his faith. He believed Jesus Christ was a nice man who gave us a good example. But that's the end of the story. That's all he was to this man. And my dad said that man was a classmate of mine. So apparently, you know, the inspiration was right. And it was God's confirming my dad that, yeah, had you stayed with the Christian Brothers, the theology, the direction they were going in theology back in the 30s was leading men out of the faith. So Dad said, don't worry about, there's going to be a problem after the council. There's going to be an upheaval. There's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of confusion in the church and unsound teaching. He said, don't worry about it, but stick to the faith. Stick to the truth. And my dad tried to point us always to the right sources. You know, Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine and the fathers of the church and the documents of the councils. Stay close to the heart of Christ in the church. By the way, St. John Eudes today, stay close to the heart of Christ. And that was his thing, was stay close to the heart of Christ. Cling to Christ in times of confusion.
And you know, Mary, that's what Virgin Most Powerful Radio is, to lift you up. This whole article lifted me up. That's why I wanted to do it today, because you know, people are walking away from Christ right now.
Don't walk away from Christ. You know, don't walk away from Christ because of Judas. There's always, unfortunately, as Bishop Sheen said, there, you'll always have your Judas priest. But don't walk away from Christ because of him. Cling to Christ and the truth, and know that, there's confusion out there. And you know what? Jesus lets, remember the parable of the weeds and the wheat. The landowner, God, allows the weeds to grow up with the wheat. Because what do we love God for? Are we just loving him for the gifts he gives? Because he makes us feel good? Because we have beautiful liturgies? Or are we going to love him when he takes everything away? What about the 70 years of the people in Russia who lived under communism and didn't even have churches? And they clung to the faith.
Bishop Athanasius Schneider talks about that. He did grow up in that kind of environment.
Amen. And they and so we need to learn from the living martyrs of our day.
Bishop Sheen in the article talks about the church's enemies. He said the enemy in each of the 500-year period has been separate and distinct. He continued, we had here, I'm speaking generally of enemies within the church. In the first 500 years, false doctrine centered around the person of Christ, the Christological heresies. You studied that in theology,
yeah,
I know.
Christological heresies, the first 500 years, yeah.
So the church was just split open, and that was one of the reasons it made it possible for the Muslims to develop, just what you had said earlier.
Because they took those Christian heresies and made them their teaching.
Yep. Isn't that fascinating? Did you learn something new today? I did. I knew that about. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
Now, the next period saw attacks on the head of the church, leading to the Eastern Church breakaway. That was in 1054.
The challenge of authority.
Exactly. Now, by the 16th century, the attack was on the body of Christ, the mystical body, the church. It was Reformation time. Now, today, Mary, our enemy today is the world, the spirit of the world.
Spirit of the world.
Sheen made it clear.
Yeah.
Today, he says, we have to conform. Today we have to conform to a world, or we're branded. He said, we must be politically correct. See, the pressure that's being pushed on us to not stand up for our faith is great.
Exactly. Just get along with society. Just don't be different. Just blend in. Just fit in. That's the enemy. That's what we're, this spirit of the world that, you know what? We're all brothers. Let's all just get along. We don't need to have Jesus Christ on the cross as our Savior, or we don't need to have God as our Father. Let's just all get along.
I'll give you a technical term that is called syncretism.
Yeah.
One religion is as good as another.
Yeah.
Now, Bishop Sheen said, our Lord said, I have taken you out of the world. We say, no, we have to win the world. And to win it, you have to be one with it. But our Lord says, no.
Nope.
He says, I pray not for the world. He was praying for the spirit of the world. And this is the easiest kind of way to fall off the log as worldliness.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in such a comforted world of money.
Right.
Everything is based on how much money do you make?
Right.
What kind of car do you drive? Where do you live?
Right.
You know, unfortunately, our Lord will not ask you that question. He's going to ask you, how much did you serve me through my people? How much do you love me? Are you living a gospel message? That's what our Lord's going to ask you.
Exactly.
He care less about what car you drive.
Or how much money you make, or how many degrees you have, by the way.
Exactly.
You know,
it's so simple, Mary. It can be justified for 1,000 reasons. Namely, the Vatican Council said we have to go into the world. Indeed, but not to be in the world, which is quite a different matter.
Yeah.
So this is our attack today. The world, the devil, and the flesh. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about Fulton J. Sheen's article about a warning of Christendom. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Mary Danielle's filling in for Jesse. He will be back tomorrow. Wait till you hear the last segment of what Bishop Sheen has to say. It inspired me, and I hope it inspires you. We'll be right back.
Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. Everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back tomorrow. Mary Danielle's filling in. Mary, I mentioned before the break, but before I mention this, I'm going to say Bishop Sheen's content is so good. We are giving away his Life of Christ.
Yeah.
It's 13 hours on an MP3 disc. Just make a donation. But if you listen to The Life of Christ, it's commenting on Scripture.
Right. It's his book that he wrote. His reflection on the life of Christ.
So we've got it on an MP3. Call 877-526-2151 and get that. That'll inspire you even more.
Yeah.
Mary, Bishop Sheen was talking about worldliness, and he said that, yes, the Vatican Council said we have to go out into the world indeed, but not be of the world.
Exactly.
So I want to ask you, you have a story about Bishop Sheen, about seminarians. There were six seminarians with Bishop Sheen visiting a lady in an iron lung. And, you know, she was praying for the church.
Right, she was praying for priests. And these young seminarians came, and they were all talking about what an easy life they were going to have. Now, here's this woman. She's suffering. She's in an iron lung. And you can look that up online if you're not familiar with what that is. But when people had trouble breathing or had polio and were losing their ability to breathe, they would put them in these iron lungs.
They couldn't move.
And that was, they had to depend on this machine to help them breathe. And so she was confined to this. And these young men are talking about how easy their life is going to be when they're a priest. Oops. All our bills are paid. We're going to have a car. We're going to have a house to live in. We're going to have food to eat. It's going to be so easy. And this woman looked at them and she said, "You have just increased my sufferings."
Wow.
She was suffering for the church. And each one of us, are supposed to bear our share of the hardships that the gospel entails. We're not supposed to be looking for an easy life as a Christian. We're supposed, and this is one of the difficulties in a world where it seems like, you know, Christianity's on top and everybody's living a Christian life. We get a little bit lax.
Yeah.
And we're not willing to sacrifice anymore. And then things will become very difficult. And those who are suffering will suffer even more. But all of us are supposed to be united to Christ crucified. And that doesn't mean you have to go look for suffering. It's to offer our daily sufferings and to not become one with the world. We have to resist that.
Yeah. Bishop Sheen talks about the answer, and that is redemptive suffering.
Right.
Sheen explained it was easy to be a Christian, you know, in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Because the atmosphere was Christian. People knew right from wrong.
Right.
Morals were Christian. There was no great problem adapting ourselves to the Christian society. But now, when everything is turned around, these are days when the masks have come off and we reveal ourselves just as we really are.
Yeah.
He said, today, the current is against us.
Exactly. And any dead body can float downstream.
Exactly.
It takes a living person to swim against the current. Are we going to be a dead body floating downstream, or are we going to be that living person who's swimming against the current?
He says, our Lord is testing us.
He is. We're being tested.
And he says, it's testing Western Christianity with worldliness. And how many of us are falling?
Yeah.
Would Bishop Sheen be surprised in how far it's gone in these decades? He died December 9th, 1979. It's even gotten worse.
Yes, it has.
He gives the example, Scripture, Israelites,
testing, being tested by God in the desert. That's sure.
In the desert, when they were out there after they left Egypt, they went out into the desert, and then they would complain against God. And when they got to the holy, when they got to the promised land, they could have taken the promised land if they had put their trust in God.
Yeah.
But they had sent 72 men to go and reconnoiter the land.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can take the land because God is going to fight for us.
Well,
the other 70 went and said, no, we can't. Those people are giants. We were grasshoppers. They're going to eat us up. They're going to destroy us. And so they complained, and they complained against God, and they complained against Moses. And God said, okay, fine. You know what? This entire generation, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, will die in the desert. You will wander in the desert for 40 years, 1 year for every day you spent reconnoitering that land, because you will not trust me. And he was testing them, and he was
just
trying
like
to teach them, trust me, I will take care of you.
Yep, that's what we need, trust right now.
We need trust.
He went on to say, not far after our time, perhaps in the time of the future, he said, we will have battles and testing.
Yeah.
Our Lord said, Satan would sift you as wheat.
Yes.
And we are being sifted as wheat.
Yes, we are.
We can all thank God that we live in these days. What? Yes. Really? He said, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. Now we can say, we can now bear upon us under the assault, the criticism, the ridicule, because this is the lot of Christians in the day of the spirit of the world. You know, Danielle, when I hear priests say you're doing a good job, I go, wait a minute, something must be wrong.
Something must be wrong.
Yeah. I like it, to be honest with you, when I would be promoting Bishop Sheen, and they were saying, oh, he's passe. We got a new church. We don't need suffering. It's all joy.
No.
And I knew I was doing it right. Now, Bishop Sheen's advice, the saintly bishop made clear the situation was not that gloomy.
Right.
Why? Because it's a picture of the church in the midst of increasing opposition from the world.
Yeah.
And therefore, live your lives in full consciousness of this. An hour of testing. Be close to the heart of Christ. Be the minority. You know what? Because we're time sensitive, he asked everybody to make the daily holy hour. Why don't you share a little bit about that, Mike?
Absolutely. Okay. He said, and he says it here, that everyone needs to make a daily holy hour. Times are such that he preached this in his priest retreats all through the years.
Yeah.
Every priest retreat, he told the priest, you have to make a daily holy hour, because if we're not connected to Christ, we cannot maintain the faith. And he's saying now, and this was before he died, he was saying the situation in the world is such that everyone needs to make that daily holy hour. We need to spend an hour in prayer with our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Sacrament every day. Now, sometimes if you're a mother with small children and stuff, you maybe can't spend a continuous hour with the children in the Blessed Sacrament, but you can teach them to love Jesus. You can take them to make visits every day. Teach them how much Jesus loves them and that he's really here, present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's not gloomy because God is still with us. He is Emmanuel. He hasn't abandoned us. He's with his church.
Amen. And then he says this. He emphasizes, the Lord is keeping the reserves. You're it.
Amen.
Yes.
The minority. Let's be the minority. Let's be the reserves.
He's training us.
Amen.
We'll make the entry. We'll prepare for this new church where we're dying right now. He says, and he is with us. We simply can't add rules. Only we've already won. As a matter of fact, only the news hasn't leaked out, Mary.
Exactly.
Because we know the end of the story.
We know the end of the story. And here's the deal. When he's talking about a new church, he's not talking about a different church.
No.
He's not talking about changing the church teaching. He's talking about a renewed church.
Amen.
A church that is now more like Christ, more Christ-like, and not worldly. We can't be worldly. We need to be like Christ.
Bishop Sheen said it, and you've heard it. Without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday.
Amen.
And he said, we hear people in our church today that, we don't want to have suffering. We want a resurrected Christ. We went through all this where they remove crucifixes in churches. I mean, that's not Christianity.
Jesus is resurrected, but he still bears his scars.
That's right.
In heaven, he is the immolated victim who offers for all eternity his act of immolated love. He is the lamb who was slain, who still bears his scars in heaven. Read the book of Revelation.
I just want to leave everybody on this. We got the life of Christ on MP3.
Yeah.
It's a book that he wrote back in the 50s. It's so rich.
Yeah.
But I also have The life of Christ, life is worth living.
Life is worth living.
On an MP3 disc of
his catechism.
Right. 50 half-hour shows teaching people the fundamentals of the faith, which is so important today.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to know
and
the basics.
You get you also get a DVD on our Catholic faith using sacred art. I'm going to just ask you for at least a $20 minimum donation. It's hundreds of dollars worth of product. But why am I doing that? Because I believe soon to be blessed Fulton J. Sheen can help with the restoration of the church.
Amen.
Because of his intellect and gift and his holiness.
Amen.
He had a combination to share the faith like no one I don't know of.
And he said himself that came from his connection with Christ in the Eucharist.
Yeah, the Holy
Hour. He made the daily Holy Hour.
60 years.
He didn't just preach it. And he said your social peace, your world peace is only an extension of peace in individual hearts.
Oh, say that again. Is that microphone on?
Is social peace, world peace is the extension of the individual peace in our hearts. If we don't have the peace of Christ in our hearts, we can't have social peace or world peace.
Well,
you can't have the brotherhood of men without the fatherhood of God.
Well, you know, broken families lead to a broken country and a broken world.
Yes,
life is cheap in this kind of godless society.
Yes,
without God, nothing is possible.
Right.
But with God, broken families can be mended, respect for life can be restored,
Amen.
And the world redeemed. God loves us and cares for us.
Amen.
He even sent his son to die for us, to save us, and to bring us to everlasting life. Can I tell
Amen.
You I'm pumped
Amen.
About this show? Why?
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Bishop Sheen has given us the antidote
right.
in the sense of what we're going through this last 500-year period, the fourth period, where there's this dying, but we have this resurrection coming.
Exactly.
And God is counting on, what did Bishop Sheen say? The laity are going to save the church.
Right.
Well, how did he say it? By asking our priests, laity, to be priests.
Right.
The bishops to be bishops.
Right.
To lead us to Christ and not compromise.
Right.
Compromise is the language of the devil.
It is. Compromise is. And we need to give up sin. We can hate sin. Give up sin. Don't hate the sinner, though. Pray for sinners. Pray for the conversion of sinners. And we need, if we're right with God, then we will be right with the world. But we can't be right with anyone if we're not right with God. And we can't be right with ourselves. If we're compromising with sin in our life, that's going to spill over into all of our relationships.
I got to tell you, Mary, we had a 4-day silent retreat. And boy, did we come out with both guns. Well, why do I say that? Because we prayed for the church, too.
Amen.
And I want to ask you, our listener, if you haven't been to confession in over a month,
Go to confession.
Receive
please.
God's mercy.
Yes.
And you know, Mary, I've got something that I wanted to share, if I have a second here. And this is so beautiful. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, and he's a Protestant.
Yeah.
He said, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without the church discipline. Communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. That was a profound statement that man said.
Beautiful.
And then the last thing, I'll give you another one. Bishop Robert Barron said, it's a sign of a corrupt church that stops thinking deeply about the truths of Christianity. A church that is against being precise about its teaching is a corrupt church. I agree with you, Bishop Barron. That's
Amen.
Why this 500-year period, God is raising up saints, lay people especially, to live holiness in life.
Amen.
Mary, what state should we be living in?
The state of grace.
And what state shouldn't we be living in?
The state of mortal sin.
And if we're in mortal sin, what do we do?
We go to confession immediately. Repent, first of all. Turn to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, and get me to confession right now. And you can make an appointment. You can call a priest. You don't have to wait until Saturday.
That's right. With what's going on in the church, with the RICO laws of the church, the church needs you, our listener, to pray for Holy Mother Church for this renewal. Of coming back to Christ and Him crucified, the full teachings of the church. May God richly bless you. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, what do I usually say? Yeah, full sheen
full
ahead.
Full sheen ahead.
And Bishop Sheen, please pray for us in heaven.
Amen. Bishop
and Sheen, pray for the Holy Mother, the church. And you pray, make reparation for the sins. We'll be back again tomorrow with Jesse Romero and Terry Barnes.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests, Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.